Welcome to the Delta Flyers, everyone. The Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, ASMR style, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
Robert Duncan McNeil. That's WWE style. Robert Duncan McNeil. Like that.
Look at the contrast. You've got the WWE style, and I have the ASMR style.
Yes, yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What was I going to say? Oh, because of last week's Threshold episode,
yeah,
we've been talking about adding a coffee brand to our store because Neelix says in the Threshold episode that he's created a whole new blend of coffee.
Yeah.
After Tom breaks through the Warp 10 Threshold barrier,
yeah,
Neelix creates Paris Delight, the new Paris coffee Delight. Blend.
New blend. And then we were talking about this just recently, and I brought up the fact that I said, I am way ahead of you. My cousin is a coffee bean farmer in the island of Kona. And wow. Let's face it, Hawaiian coffee is the bomb. So it I think is. This is a good possibility of, you know, some collaboration
Paris
here. Paris Delight coffee.
That's very fun. Funny.
Oh my gosh.
We may have to come up with a whole line. We may have to become bigger than Starbucks because we're going to have like Nebula coffee for Janeway, you yeah. know, coffee from the Nebula or whatever we call yeah. it, Paris yeah. Delight. There's a couple of blends that we could have. Yeah. We're going to be bigger than Starbucks, I feel.
Are we Galaxy Bucks or Universe Galaxy. Bucks? Instead of star, I mean, Starbucks Delta is just Bucks. One star, Delta Bucks. But can you imagine if this actually takes off and people talk about this decades into the future? Like how did Delta Bucks get started? And they're like, well, it was a podcast of all things between all these two things. Actors from Star Trek.
There yes. was this TV show where everybody loved coffee.
Coffee and yeah. nebulas. Yeah. So this could be a really, really fun little side gig that we both have, right?
I drink a lot of coffee and Janeway drank a lot of coffee as we know. And,
I'll be perfectly honest with you. I love the smell of coffee, but I cannot drink it.
Really?
My stomach is just torn to shreds. It is the caffeine in the coffee kills me. I can drink tea, caffeinated tea, but that regular coffee,
it's too much,
man.
Too acidic
it's
or
too
something.
Too much, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm bummed. I mean, your coffee that you typically drink, do you drink every day? You drink a cup of coffee in the morning?
Oh, I probably drink 3 cups a day, 4 cups.
Seriously. So you
in the morning, I have at least 2 cups. And I will admit, I'm excited about Paris Delight, our new coffee label. But my favorite coffee is my Nespresso machine. I use a Nespresso machine.
Really?
And I have a Vertuo Nespresso machine. It makes all kinds of delicious gourmet coffees that are sort of whipped and frothy and really delicious. And I love my Nespresso Vertuo machine. I really do. I have to admit.
Wow. Who's the celeb that pitches Nespresso? George Clooney?
George Clooney, I think, yeah.
Nespresso spokesperson? Okay.
We'll have to put some Paris Delight into a Nespresso pod.
I think so.
Or do some kind of co-branding with them because I only drink my Nespresso these days.
Okay. We'll make Nespresso specific Paris Delights too.
Okay. Paris
Delights. just to satisfy you. That's all that counts, really. Yeah. You know, as long as you're happy.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Happiness.
What about Rebecca? Yeah. Does Rebecca drink coffee with you?
Yes,
no?
She does, but she has a different machine. She likes her
you guys
drip coffee. She has a different. She doesn't like my Nespresso. She likes a nice drip. Classic. She's a classic. So,
Some people have his and her sinks. McNeil has his and her coffee machine.
That's right. Oh my God. We do.
Classic. Yeah. Okay. Good to know. Hey, man, what's this week's episode called? Let's see.
It is called Meld.
Meld.
Meld is a Tuvok episode. Yeah. I think. Okay. I'm very excited. Cool. By the way, this has been fun lately. Last week with Threshold, we got Kate Mulgrew to join us for a few minutes and give her thoughts.
Yeah.
This week, I think we're going to be able to get Tim Russ to join us and talk about Meld. Right. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't rewatched it yet. I'm very excited to first rewatch it, talk about that with you and him involved. So
I am excited too. All right. So let's, Robbie, let's go watch this episode, Meld, and let's come back and talk about this and discuss.
We are back from watching Meld. Mm-mm-mm. And I have to say,
that's how many mms I had.
Yeah, a lot of mms going on.
I was scared.
Hey, my memory is a little messed up on this one. I in our What Do We Remember bonus material for our patrons, I talked about Suter trying to evade all the authorities and everything in the Jeffrey's tube. That's actually from a later episode.
Yes, it is.
It is with Suter, and that is an episode that has not happened yet. But so my memory was off.
My memory was off too, because I did not recall any of that Sandrine story.
Oh my god!
About the you know, the gambling and all that stuff, and I didn't remember any of that. I do have to say, like, I like it when we have if you hadn't had that story in this episode, it would have felt so bodily and you know, I like when there's other stories. I just felt like in this instance, I felt like the gambling and Sandrine's and the story of Suter were so completely detached from each other. Like, they had nothing to do with each other in terms of, I mean, maybe you could say the darker side of, you know, of people's, we all have sort of a darker side, if you want to call it gambling or whatever, a darker side, maybe. I don't know. I could not make a connection between the B story and the A story. They seem to have nothing to do with each other.
That's true. I mean, well, if you talk about, you know, murder, being a, would that be a vice? I don't know. I
guess maybe for a serial killer, it's a vice.
Yeah, it's a vice for a serial killer. Yeah. But then there's definitely, you know, there's definitely a negative connotation when it comes to gambling. You know, there's a lot of that saying that is a vice, right? So you shouldn't engage in gambling or whatever. So maybe that's a very loose connection between the Suter storyline.
Yeah. I don't know.
But that's as close as we can come, really, in this one, because it had nothing to do with it. I was just going to add that the irony of the situation is that although Tom Paris is the one who initiates the gambling racket, shall we call it, you know, or initiates the gambling sequences or scenes, in real life, it's me. I'm the one who's the gambler. You know, I've always
been
someone who plays, you know, craps and blackjack, and I've bet sports gambling, you know, sports bets, sports betting.
I'm not a gambler.
You're not. And in real life, you know,
not at all.
You wouldn't be caught dead in a casino, but you have no inkling or no motivation.
No.
Am I right?
No interest at all.
There's no appeal whatsoever in get. And I find that there's some type of genetic predisposition to gambling.
There may be.
But it's a nice beginning. Sandrine's.
Yes. Michael Piller wrote the screenplay. Mike Sussman had the story. And Cliff Bohl was our director. I love Cliff Bohl.
Yes.
Love Cliff Bohl. He did a lot of episodes for us. He was just an old school, you know, straight shooter. I liked his confidence and his his kind of, it was clear he was the director and the leader in the room. And we had shorter days usually with Cliff Bohl.
Yeah, he knew what he wanted.
I have a limerick. I'm just going to, before we get started in the plot.
Yes.
So my limerick for Meld, my limerick for Meld is, Suter was a psycho killer on board, and murder we couldn't afford. So Tuvok performed a mind meld. His Vulcan violence was expelled. Meanwhile, in Sandrine's, nobody scored. Like, I got the B story in there, too.
Nobody scored. Is that what you said?
Scored. Huh? Yeah.
Scored, yeah.
Suter was a psycho killer on board, and murder we couldn't afford. So Tuvok performed a mind meld. His Vulcan violence was expelled. Meanwhile, in Sandrine's, Nobody scored.
There you go.
That's my limerick. Limericks are hard, by the way.
They are. I'm so impressed that you've kept this up, this limerick synopsis of yours.
Yeah.
But I think our listeners will have to agree that they probably prefer this over the long meandering synopsis that used to come out of you. I went and took a nap and then I came back.
I still was synopsizing.
You're still synopsizing, exactly. All right, let's do a haiku synopsis. Here we go. Suder kills Darwin. Tuvok mind melds with Suder. Bad Mr. Vulcan.
Nice.
Yeah. That's my Vulcan. Shout out to Neelix. Neelix calls Tuvok Mr. Vulcan. He's the only one that calls him that, right?
By the way, did you see in the we'll get there, it just comes to mind in case I forget. When in the holodeck, Tuvok was experimenting with his anger and reacts to Neelix and grabs him by the throat against the wall. You could see the prosthetic head being smushed. You could see the line so clearly.
Really?
The prosthetic head was sort of, it was being pushed against the wall. If you go back and look, you'll see the shape of the prosthetic underneath and where it's glued and where it's not glued, because it kind of mushes into a line. You can see it so clearly.
Look at you, Mr. Observant.
Yeah, I forgot to note that, but it just came to mind as we were talking.
Okay. I like that.
Okay, so we're in Sandrine's.
And I feel like you kind of, even though we talked about last episode, you'd made the beginning of the turn, the transition into.
He goes back to his old ways.
He's still going back to his old ways. He's like, now how can I scam everybody out of their replicator rations? I'm going to do this.
And, I know. Oh my God. I love that he called it the Paris Radiogenic Sweepstakes. It's like, oh, dude, it's very funny.
It's just
taking a little commission for, but you know, you as a gambler would say like, well, you know, it's entertainment. Like gambling is entertainment in a way. Yeah. And so Paris was providing a service of entertainment for the crew. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also think that, you know, one of the themes of the episode is I like where Neelix talked about early on, he talks about it's Kalrek season, and Tuvok goes, there's no season. Kalrek is not a season. It's a day of mourning or something. Mm-hmm. And then Neelix goes, well, what about Vulcan Ramari? That's the festival of naked partying. And it sounded like Mardi Gras, honestly, to me. And so immediately I started thinking, oh, this is going to be an episode about the dark side of our nature getting repressed, obviously, with Tuvok and everything. But it's the same in Sandrine's. It's the dark side of our, you know, our gambling, our taking risks, our maybe drinking alcohol or whatever, playing pool. It's all of those, the darker side of our nature. If we just repress it all the time and don't allow some escape valves, that we're going to bottle it up and it's going to come out potentially in the wrong way. So I think Paris was providing a service with the sweepstakes.
He was. I'll buy that then.
Okay.
I'll buy that. So then we head to,
engineering. Go to engineering. We hear about the warp drive problem and that it's maybe an EPS conduit situation. And but Suder says everything's fine.
Yeah, but we don't hear about it until Tuvok is called to, isn't he in the mess hall at the time when he gets called to engineering, when he discovers the body?
I think he's in there talking to Neelix.
He's talking to Neelix, laugh. Yeah, Neelix is doing his thing in this episode. There's many scenes of Neelix just, you know, his line delivery and just how he just everything was just on show for this one. It was like a Neelix showcase, a one-man show was the other B storyline.
Yes, I think that Ethan Phillips and Tim Russ had a really good banter between the two of them in real life, and they were good friends. They hung out, and
they were.
And I think a lot of that comfort sort of came out in these scenes of the odd couple, the Neelix. You know, they gave him a lot of dialogue to try to make Tuvok laugh, and Tim Russ was able to play the straight man there. It was very funny. It was very sweet and very charming. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Darwin is dead. Tuvok's called to engineering. They open up the closet. I couldn't tell what that
did
was.
Did you call it the closet? Did you say open up the closet?
They open up a closet and there's a body in there. But when they first revealed it, I couldn't tell what it was, but it was gross. It was like bloody, but I couldn't. It was very unclear what I was looking at for me.
You saw the hand though, right? There was like a hand that was sitting there. And
I couldn't really tell what that was, I guess.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah.
Huh.
Although my TV was very dark today. My feed, I don't know why, everything was very dark. So it could have been a setting on my TV.
Okay.
Could have been a setting on my TV, not the show.
That could be it.
Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So then they discover, they discover the body, then they start doing a little backtracking on seeing who was in engineering at that time, that Darwin was there, and it looks like there was only one other person, Suter. So Tuvok begins his investigation by questioning Suter in his quarters. This is like the first time that I think have we seen Tuvok's quarters before?
I think we have, but we see a little more of it.
Yeah.
Right before this scene, though, with the interrogation, they're talking in Janeway's ready room, and Chakotay starts saying, "You know, I didn't really like this guy. I didn't trust him. He seemed to enjoy killing way too much."
Yeah.
And all I could think of in that scene was, "Oh, thanks, Chakotay. Why haven't you brought up this before? We've been out for a year and a half, and you haven't mentioned there might be a killer." In engineering, like, oh, now you decide to say you got a psycho in engineering? Like, I wish he had said, like, oh, I didn't want to bring this up before. It's probably nothing. I wish he had said something like that. Because as soon as he said, well, I never liked him. He always seemed like a psycho killer, a serial killer. I'm like, dude, why didn't you say something before?
Didn't Tuvok bring that up? Didn't he say, hey, why didn't you tell us that before? Someone says that. Someone actually voices that opinion.
Oh, thank God. I didn't hear it. Oh, good.
Maybe you didn't hear it. And they're like, don't you think this information would have been pertinent? I think it was Tuvok. Well, don't you think this information would have been pertinent for you to tell us this? And then Chakotay goes, well, I don't report hunches. You know, he doesn't.
Oh, that's right. He did say something like that.
Tell me my hunch, you know, that this guy's crazy, crazy killer.
Okay. All right.
So there was a little bit of, talk about that. But back into the quarters, I like the wall. The wall adorning that wall was like, I don't know, was that a Vulcan sarcophagus or whatever? That looked really cool.
I think Tuvok has the nicest quarters, even nicer than Janeway's. He's got a nice quarters. He's got good decoration. He's got plenty of room to meditate and do all his things.
He sure does.
Then he had to go tear it up. When he loses his mind, he's got to go destroy everything. That's why we can't have nice things.
That crazy Tuvok. You can never give Tuvok nice things. Oh, my Lord. So the mind meld. Poor Tuvok. He's trying to help Suter. Yeah. But in the long run, he ends up feeling the effects of the mind meld, the reverse mind meld, basically. Yeah. All right. And that's the
I never understood mind melds. Yeah, I never understood before as clearly as this episode that the mind melds are, you know, my mind to your mind to my mind. We're becoming one. We are one mind. I never realized that in that we are one, that when you come out of the mind meld, you might be left with a little more of the other guys than your own. You know, yeah. I never quite saw that as clearly as this episode.
Same here.
I also noticed when the doctor was doing the DNA investigation, that the graphics for the DNA, like if you think about the mid 90s, 95 or whatever, 96 this year, DNA was still not used in a court of law. It was still experimental. We knew very little about it. The research in DNA was not nearly as extensive as it is now, 25 years
later. Correct.
And so I saw the graphic and the dialogue about DNA, and I'm like, oh my God, that sounds so primitive, because we know so much more about DNA now, but here was the doctor talking about DNA and looking at this in this like microscopy thing, and it just looked goofy compared to what the science we look at now. You know, I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. That is what cues you to, oh my gosh, that's what dates the show. You know, you're like, huh. It's like typically what dates a film or TV project is the type of cell phone that people are using in that film or TV project. But in Star Trek, it's the science behind using DNA, right? Which is definitely more commonplace now.
Yeah, felt very dated. The doctor points to the DNA. It's definitely Suter. Suter admits everything to Tuvok. He just comes clean.
Yeah.
And I thought that scene was really creepy to me. It was
big time,
cold and calculated and very scary.
Yeah. But then it also brings light to the fact that, you know, some people are just wired that way. You know what I'm saying? Where they don't feel, because the fact that he's a betazoid, and a betazoid, that entire species, that entire Star Trek alien species is about being an empath, being able to feel what other people are feeling. And you have that line in there, which to me was the creepiest line from Suter, was that, hey, I'm a betazoid. We're supposed to feel other people's feelings. I can't even feel my own feelings, is what he said. And I was like, ooh, that's so creepy.
That's creepy. But
that goes to show you, there's always an anomaly, right? There's always, you know, if you have a whole bunch of cows that are brown, there's going to be one white cow, right? If you have a whole bunch of betazoids, there's going to be one that doesn't feel jack, can't feel anything. And that's Suter, unfortunately.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting when they go into the doctor and Tuvok is trying to understand this. He says something like, a crime must have a logical purpose. It must have a motive. And the doctor's like, oh, you think everything should make sense and you know, add up. And so he goes out to Kes and says, okay, Kes, you know, look in his file. Are there any, you know, mental illnesses or anything? Mm-hmm. And Kes says something like, no, nothing here. And he's not bipolar. And so the doctor says something like, well, he's not insane per se. And part of me was like, wait a minute. Bipolar is not insane. Yeah. Depressive is not insane. Like, we can't just boil this down to a quick comment about, I don't know. I found that in terms of the mental illness health field, like that was a bit of an irresponsible moment. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like,
well, yeah. Similar to the DNA, we have progressed beyond that point with mental illness now, right? People are now acknowledging that it is an illness. So
yes, it can be, depression can be a serious illness, but certainly not insanity. Like using the word insane, when the doctor goes, well, he's not insane per se. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Something about that I found to be slightly confusing and hard to grasp, you know, with I mentioned bipolar and insanity in the same sentence. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's
right.
That's not how it works. Yeah.
The therapy was the neurosynaptic therapy that the doctor decides to use to help Tuvok out. And
it's like a shock therapy, right?
Yes. Well, basically, kind of. I mean, I disagreed with it. I mean, I from what I understood from watching the episode, the doctor was basically taking away all of his
filters?
Vulcan filters, yeah, so that he feels everything, and that's how that they're going to cure him. I'm not sure if that's right, because yeah, you're right. Shock therapy, when it was in vogue at the turn of the century, when people thought, "Hey, this is great," but really, it's like taking a sledgehammer to kill a gnat or an ant. You know, it's like, why are you going that far to institute change in somebody by using shock therapy? And that's, I guess, kind of what he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But thank God we got to that therapy happened, because we got some choice scenes from Tuvok.
Oh, Tim was awesome. Oh, he was so good.
Calling the captain, you know,
you disgust me
wrong, and you disgust me, and then threatening. This is the only time I can think of anyone threatening the doctor's life. You know, with a few choice keystrokes, I can make it so that I can completely terminate your program, where you don't even exist any longer. Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, he said something like, "You're not invulnerable, hologram."
Oh yeah, yeah, hologram.
You're not invulnerable, hologram.
Invulnerable hologram. Let's do that at conventions if we're with Bob Picardo. Let's just call him hologram, or just say that line to him. You're not invulnerable, hologram.
That's right.
See how he reacts to that one.
I thought it was interesting, Suter said a little earlier than this, when Tuvok was talking to him after the mind meld and Tuvok was trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
Suter said something like, you know, violence is attractive in its own way, Tuvok.
Yeah.
And he wanted to mind meld with Tuvok again. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, your mind meld is a form of violence in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your thoughts dissolving into mine.
Yeah.
That was really
penetrating into mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because in a way, even though the intention was noble, I guess, and Tuvok thought he was doing the right thing, it is a form of violence to take over someone's thoughts.
Yeah.
Take over, you know, someone's beliefs or thoughts or feelings. And I think that's an interesting lesson as part of our theme and part of our, you know, of where is that line, you know, with violence, with aggression, with, there's a very fine line there. And It was an interesting moment. I just didn't want to miss. You disgust me. All of you humans do. When Tim Russ at one point goes, "Release the force field," and he said it with this, he said it with like, I don't know. It just sounded classic. Like the line reading, his energy, his intention of release the force field. So good.
Yeah.
So good. Do Vulcans sweat, by the way? He was sweaty a lot. And I'm like,
he's very sweaty.
Glands?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, do other aliens sweat? Like, I would think that might be a choice to make, is that, not every bipedal humanoid alien has to sweat like humans. They may not.
That's true. I don't know whose decision that was to make him all, you know, damp throughout that episode when he was
he was sweating a lot.
Demons.
Yeah.
Janeway at the end says, "Tuvok, no more mind melds without permission."
Yes.
Which typically at the end of every episode, it's always Janeway pulling Torres aside and you know, breaking off a piece of wisdom and remember this. And then whoever it is, there's always something with Janeway typically, right?
Yeah.
And in this one, yes, Janeway's there, but instead of this deep sort of, you know, and this is what you should learn from this young man.
Yeah.
It came off very, very fortune cookie-ish, you know, kind of like, it just like, I'm just going to just say to you, no more mind melds without permission.
And
to me, it trivialized it at the very end for her just to quickly say, no more mind melds. You know, I'm like, okay, we need more Calgon. I mean, it just really kind of bugged me that it didn't have a little more gravity at the end. I thought, was that the end scene? And then it ended.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I feel like the deeper ideas came in the conversations with Suter and Tuvok. That's where the depth yeah. came out, because there was a line where Suter said something like, if you can't control the violence, then the violence will control you. And to me, that was the theme of this episode.
Okay.
Right. Just to kind of segue into yes. theme, like yeah, to me, that sort of captured the big idea, the lesson that mm-hmm. we can all learn was like, we all have the potential for violence, for the darker side.
Yes.
You know, and I guess that's the way I was connecting the Sandrine's gambling and, you know, mm-hmm. even Tuvok's experience, obviously. And what Neelix talked about, that festival, what was that festival called? I'm going to look it up again so I get it right. The Vulcan Ramari Festival, which is like Mardi Gras, like where they run around and chase each other naked. And like everyone has this dark side. So if you can't control, I guess is the big word there. If you can't find your own way, there's a Vulcan way of doing it. There's a human way. Everybody can find their own path. Everyone has their own path. But if you don't find that path to controlling the darker side of your experience, then the dark side will control you. And I thought, yeah. to me, that was the theme anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talked about it earlier that you need an outlet. You need an outlet to sort of help you normalize your own feelings or your behavior, right? Something to kind of to work out all this aggression.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is a good theme. My other theme behind the B storyline would be the house always wins. So you taking your 10%, you were the house in that whole gambling.
That's right.
There. And that's right. It's true. It's true. For all those people out there that are just turning 21 and entering into U.S. casinos and trying to gamble, just remember it is hit and run. The minute you are up, you need to leave. I mean, you cannot sit there all day because you will lose every cent on you, because the house will always
win. That's right.
But in the short term, you can't stay ahead.
Yeah.
That's my theme.
Hit and run.
Yeah. Hit and run.
That's good.
Hit and run. All right.
Well, great. Well, that was awesome. That was a fun episode. I thought Tim did a great job.
He did. Yeah. A scale of 1 to 10. What are you going to put that on?
I'm going to give that a 7.
Okay. I agree. I'll give the same too. Yeah. Tim did a fabulous. And really, this is almost like a mirror universe episode for Tim. Like he finally got to, you know, act with some emotion. And typically what we see of Tuvok is the most emotion we get is the raised eyebrow and that's it, you know, and this one, he went to town, you know, released the force field. And I have some funny backstory lines that we're going to ask Tim when we have him.
Yeah. We're going to, for our patrons, we're going to have our bonus features, our usual games we play, but we'll have Tim Russ checking in with us on this episode to talk and answer a few questions.
Yeah.
So very curious to get his memories there.
Oh, me too. Most definitely. All right. So without further ado, let's move. We're going to go ahead. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in this week. All of our listeners out there, we appreciate that.
Next week is Dreadnought, right?
Dreadnought. Yep.
Okay.
So we'll see you guys next week.
See you then.
All right.